This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, let's shift away from the local market and take a look at what's happening in global markets, because that emerging market sell-off that was sparked by Turkey and Argentina's twin currency crises that has really deepened, and this has stirred concerns of a broader crisis. So when will the bleeding stop in emerging markets? To discuss this, we have on the line with us Jeff Howie, market strategist from SGX in Singapore. Good morning, Jeff. Now, just how long do you think this sell-off in emerging markets could last?
Good morning, Melissa, and good morning, Joyce. Well, look, investors do have plenty of cues to follow by virtue of the policymakers for the respective countries. There's also central bank support. There's also the US dollar strength. There are a number of variables in play that basically investors can follow. But there's also multiple portfolio management tools, of course, for times of volatility, which obviously include instruments that enable investors to hedge currency or different asset exposures.
Right, Jeff. So with all that's happening right now, how do you think investors should be investing today in the current climate?
It's a good question. And for investors, I guess, that might want a little bit more insight from the coalface, we have just finished a very comprehensive round of corporate earnings, and they were made with outlooks that were amidst this uncertainty of the emerging markets, the trade disputes and tariffs, and both of those have a degree of connection to the rising US dollar. So we did see multiple multinational companies tout diversification of products or services or geographical exposure as a means to work with the current climate. For instance, our largest healthcare play, which is both listed on Bursa and SGX, stated that in looking ahead, the group will execute a multi-pronged strategy to enhance its diversified offering, stating it expects expansion projects in Malaysia, China, and completion of ongoing projects in Turkey to provide sufficient capacity to meet demand. Our largest capitalized agribusiness group, they noted that the prolonged dispute between China and the US will have a negative impact on its crush market margins. However, it expects other businesses, such as consumer products, rice, flour milling, etc., to perform better. And, of course, our largest EMS provider, electronic manufacturing services provider, also noted in its outlook that to deal with near-term volatility, which included escalation of trade tensions and so forth, that it had worked out various strategies, which included a differentiated strategy and diversified competencies. So diversification, it's clearly a means for the companies to deal with the current climate, mm-hmm. and thus I do think that would have some clear relevance to investors as well.
Right. So would you say that the plunge in asset prices and the currencies within the emerging markets region would mean a good time to buy, especially these companies that have diversified, Jeff? Is it time to ignore the headlines?
Well, no. It's clearly it's a time to be more attentive, and emerging markets and developing economies, that they roughly make up half of Singapore's, half of Malaysia's total value of exports and imports. However, it's important to note that four-fifths of those emerging economy exposures through our trade is to emerging economies within Asia. And I guess beyond looking at the equity benchmarks, investors would be paying attention to other variables such as credit default swap rates, in addition to the longer-term bond yields, which give you an indication of what the market is thinking short-term interest rates will be. Basically, the higher the rates, particularly for credit default swap rates, the higher the perceived risk. And there is somewhat of a contrast in the gauges across the emerging markets. For instance, Turkey's five-year credit default swap rate is between 550 and 600 basis points. Argentina's credit default swap rates is between 700 and 800 basis points. And by comparison, Malaysia's five-year credit default swap rate is just 100 basis points, and Indonesia is 140 basis points. Mm. And also look at bond yields, which do provide somewhat of a risk gauge. You have Turkey at 24%, Argentina at 29%, while Indonesia is at 9%, and Malaysia is just under 4%.
Jeff, just wondering, how vulnerable is Singapore to all the uncertainty that's happening in the markets right now?
Well, I mean, we obviously have exposures, and if you look at the ledger in terms of the performances across Asia, we kind of near the top end, but we have in terms of total returns. In Sing dollar terms, we've declined 4% in the year to date. Now, it's Asia. There's a 22% differential between the best performing index and the least performing index. Japan's been leading Asia Pacific. It's up 4% in the year to date. China is the least performing. It's down 18% in the year to date. And Indonesia did move towards that China performance yesterday, as you noted earlier in the program, and that's down 15% in the year to date. But Singapore is a very highly diversified stock market. So when we look at the numbers for August in terms of where we've seen flows, let's say institutional net buying, there have been some themes. Recent earnings have been a strong theme. The two stocks with the highest net buy inflow from institutions in August, they were a shipbuilder, which reported that revenue doubled year on year in its second quarter of 2018. The next biggest recipient was one of the three banks, and that had reported its second quarter net profit was up more than 25% year on year. And then we've also seen, with all these diversified sectors that we have, while institutional investors were generally net sellers in the local market over August, we did see net buying in the real estate developers and operators. We saw some net buying in telecommunications, information technology, energy and healthcare.
Well, Jeff, in the current macro environment, you're talking about these key segments that could be in the radar of investors. What other sectors do you think? How about tech?
Is that defensive sectors have been mixed in the first 8 months of 2018, which I guess have been a little bit more in focus. Tech was our strongest sector last year, and it is amongst our top three sectors this year, albeit not seeing the strong gains that we saw last year. But nevertheless, it's interesting in that some of the defensive segments that have really come to the forefront, they do have comparatively simple supply chains and diversified businesses. Among the strongest defensive segments over the period for the first 8 months of this year, we've seen our two supermarket operators that have generated average total returns between 25 and 30% over the 8 months. And over those 8 months, they were both recipients of net institutional inflows, which combined totaled around $120 million. Also, both of those companies reported profit growth of around 6 to 7% year on year for the first half of 2018. And they over the long term, they've stood up as well. Those two stocks effectively doubled the STI performance over the 3 years ending August, both generating around 50% total returns. So there have been some defensive pockets. Another previously defensive segment has been represented by our iEdge SGX All Healthcare Index. That generated around a 30% return, total return over the 3 years ending in August.
Well, Jeff, do you see any safe havens in the midst of all this uncertainty?
Well, look, the US dollar is clearly providing some counterbalance for investors, with demand for US treasuries basically offsetting the downward pressure on yields, with the record bond sales in the US. Hence, we're seeing 10-year notes yields at around 2.8 to 2.9%, with demand meeting that supply. But globally, we haven't seen a strong safe haven reaction in the price of gold. However, it's interesting, its price has gained by around 2% since the US dollar made its intra-year high in mid-August, which was, I think, 15th of August, when it was just below the 97 levels, which for the US dollar is up from 92 at the end of 2017. But that's come back a little bit, that trade weighted dollar index, to around a 95 level at the moment. But rather than the safe haven play, it's been more of a different tone in trading. That is, for our local market, we've seen the increase in volatility produce increased trading ranges on a day-by-day basis in our big STI stocks. And that's obviously generated more shorter-term trading opportunities as opposed to those longer-term investable opportunities we saw back in 2017.
Jeff, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at SGX in Singapore.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.